Like many people here this morning, I've been in the process of getting jabs. Having had a bad cold and cough delayed my annual flu and latest COVID update. But this year also I had the new RSV jab. That was a theological worry for me. In my world, RSV stands for Revised Standard Version. So was I going to be prevented from benefiting from what, to my mind, is one of the best Bible translations available, and indeed the one we use for our readings in church? Well, no, I don't seem to have been inoculated against it. Seriously, how good is it that science, by the grace of God, is providing us with better protection against diseases that at worst might be life-threatening? My paradoxical question for us this morning, should we avoid infection or positively seek it? In days gone by, loving parents organised chickenpox parties in the hope that their children would be infected and get it all over with. Having myself had not only chickenpox but mumps in my 30s, there was much to be said for that. Of course, these days there are jabs which do the job much better, and without the illness to go with it. But it's not only diseases which are infectious. Laughter is infectious. So are lots of things. Have you noticed that yawning is infectious? If one person yawns, it's sometimes quite hard not to join in. Even physical movements can be infectious. Try this sometime if you're sitting in a group of people. Cross your legs and see how long it is before somebody opposite you does the same. It isn't a conscious copying. It's just that somehow we're geared to mirroring what we see. So what might we learn from this as Christians? That we can be infected by goodness. We can catch Christian values and graces without realising, but we can also do so deliberately. A couple of weeks ago I was talking to you about the importance of saints. Those are people who can usefully infect us. As it happens, today is the feast of St. Hugh of Lincoln. He was Bishop of Lincoln from 1186 to his death on this day in the year 1200. He didn't really want to be a bishop. He'd previously been prior of the Carthusian Priory at Witham in Somerset. He didn't really want to be elevated to that position either. What he really wanted to do was to be a man of prayer, as he had been as a monk at the Grand Chartreuse in France. Whilst his calling as prior and bishop didn't prevent prayer, he thought in some ways it was a distraction. But unlike some saints who we might find it hard to like, if the contemporary accounts of him are to be trusted, it would be hard not to like Hugh of Lincoln. Here's one description. He was one of the most beautiful spirits that was ever incarnated in human clay, a man of the sunniest cheerfulness and of remarkable character and leadership. Or listen to this from his contemporary, Adam of Evesham. You will find in this one individual all the patience, courtesy, courage, gentleness, and other virtues possible in any mortal man. He loves the whole human race like himself. His abundant charity cherishes all men. Lest we should think of him as just an awfully nice chap, let me expand a little on his courage. The king at that time was Henry II, who you recall had been instrumental in the death of Thomas à Becket. Hugh had to take the king to task for various reasons, and having seen what happened to Thomas, that took courage. But he did it with courtesy and tact. It was also a time of considerable anti-Semitism, and there was a large community of Jews in Lincoln. He did much to protect them from the prejudices of the time. I could say a lot more, but that gives a flavour of a man from whom we might like to catch some infections. Can people say of us in any degree that we exude cheerfulness, patience, courage and gentleness? After all, those are Christian virtues we find listed in the New Testament. In the New Testament, there's a group of words which are all about infection, although that would never be the translation in our Bibles today. They're usually translated by something like handing on. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, I received from the Lord what I handed on to you. It came to mean tradition. Now, tradition can sometimes sound a bit stodgy, but what was meant was that the first disciples handed on to their successors what they had come to believe about Jesus, and in turn those successors handed those things on to the next generations. We're here because we are the beneficiaries of that tradition, not only in what came to be written down in the New Testament, but what has been part and parcel of Christian living in a more general sense. We've been infected, and that infection stretches back to the apostles. As we say in the Creed, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We are their inheritors. Their infection has been passed down to us. So we can go a step further. I think it was Dean Inge who once said that religion is caught, not taught. Think about your own faith journey. I'd be surprised if most people found it was teaching that gave them faith, more than the example of individuals or a Christian community. That's why we have such a profound calling. It ought to be from each of us that people can be infected with the love of God in Jesus. In order to be infectious, we have to be in close touch with people who have already been infected. Going back to my own delayed childhood, actually I caught chickenpox from someone at church. I hope I have also been infected by other less painful things from people I've been in church with. I haven't, like any of us, had the privilege of meeting St. Hugh of Lincoln and being infected by him. But I have been in contact with a whole series of men and women who've infected me with their love of Christ. They didn't know they were doing so any more than that person in church knew they were giving me chickenpox. But it happened. So as I end what I have to say, take a few moments in silence to remember the saints, for that is what the New Testament says we all are, the saints who have infected you. And then we'll pray together that we may be truly and highly infectious to the people we meet day by day. So let us remember our infectors, if we may call them that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have handed on to us the good news of Jesus. We thank you for their lives and their words. And we pray that now you will help us to play our part in handing on the infection they have given us. For Jesus' sake, Amen.